Hello, Christy, and welcome to A Little Wiser.
Hi, Kimmy.
So when we have done these episodes, it's been a work in progress, right? We're evolving here, trying to figure out.
The process is the product.
The process is the product. Love it.
Something I say to my kids all the time.
No, we're trying to figure out the sweet spot being what we feel is like valuable, interesting, fun content and content that we enjoy doing, right? And creating together, because that's what makes fun, good content. And so in the past, we've gone and kind of like honed in really clearly on a message, whether it be gratitude, resilience, and
forgiveness.
Then forgiveness, yes, comparative suffering.
Curiosity on Thanksgiving week.
Yes. Curiosity on Thanksgiving. Damn, that was smart of us.
Yeah.
But what we realized was the best conversations are the ones we have directly after we both listened to the interview for the first time and call each other.
Yes.
Which you called it a book club. It's like a podcast club about my podcast.
Yes.
Between you and I.
Yes. And it is really some of my most favorite conversations.
And this idea of just having the real conversation. And what I mean by that is I do these interviews. Sometimes it's like months. It's been months and months, like 6 months. And then you listen to them and you call me like on a walk or a hike or a car. And you're like, oh my gosh, I just listened. And then we just talk about the story and how we both experienced and what it meant to us and what stuck out and what it made us think about in our own life. And we're really good at explaining actually why that exercise actually makes it meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain that like you did before when we were recording?
I'll give it my best shot. I think what I love about it is that I call you and we get to have this conversation about this really incredible story that I just listened to and I feel inspired by, but I'm also listening to the podcast with an ear for a different theme or what are some tools that this person specifically used or strategies in moving through their experience. So I'm always listening for those themes. And then when I call you, it's fun to go through them. And in going through them, it helps, for instance, you know, the forgiveness one really stuck with me. In talking about forgiveness, I start to really think about it more. I think about it in my own life. We talk through it. I am always curious to know what's the research or like, what's the mechanism behind why forgiveness is so impactful to us? And like one of the that really has stayed with me, speaking of forgiveness, is that it's a choice. So anyway, we're talking, we're having this great conversation about forgiveness, what it means. We layer on maybe some ideas, studies might say, but it's in having the conversation and pulling out the themes that story that was inspiring and entertaining becomes really meaningful to me in my everyday life.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, maybe it's no different than reading a book you love or seeing a movie or a show and then finding someone who's had the same experience and like swapping notes. It's just fun to kind of see how you both experience it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think exactly that's right. It's like, and then your perspectives or your thoughts on how that theme or whatever the person, the skill, whatever the thing is, how it has applied in your own life, I think I can really grow and learn from that as well. So it's the reason why book clubs are so great. So now this is just a podcast book club, a podcast club.
What it made me think is you and I could listen to the same interview and your experience and your curiosity could be so, we could be equally intrigued, equally obsessed, and for totally different reasons, right?
That's true. Yeah.
So,
which is another added benefit for why when you bring multiple people together to talk about it, it's just such a richer, more meaningful experience.
All right. So speaking of the last episode, Jason Schechterle, as we mentioned, incredibly heroic man. So you and I, first of all, again, I called you and I said we were going to talk about what we were going to talk about right now today. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Christy, that moment, and I'll paint the moment for those of you who have not listened. Jason had very severe burns to his body, including his face and hands primarily. So he physically looks different. And he's a motivational speaker now. This accident is far behind him. He has gone on to do remarkable things and a lot of work on himself. But he was talking about traveling and being in an airport just weeks ago. It was like the day before we recorded the interview. And he shares in the interview, he said, I saw people looking at me and the realization that people pity him and like how much he fucking loves his life. He's like, I wouldn't trade my life for anything. And the way that people are experiencing him outwardly because of his differences, which are, you know, you can see that he's been through pain visibly, which is like another point that people bring up. People who have their scars are physical, right? Because everyone, yeah. So his scars are really physical. So they're a reminder to people. But you said that stuck out to you as well. The fact that he's at the airport.
Yes.
And he's sitting there literally loving, filled with gratitude and enthusiasm and excitement about his life and realizing that people are making up their own story about his misery. What are the lessons and the wisdom here in this moment? Because clearly it was a really impactful interview and that moment hit both of us. So what is the lesson about pity, about making up stories that we don't know?
So for me, the lesson is it was a really powerful reminder to check the assumptions that I make when I encounter people out in the world, that we can't know what that person has gone through to get them to that moment, like the suffering, the challenges, what their morning, afternoon may have looked like. We also can't know how incredible their life might be. I think the word we don't like is that idea of pity. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. Say a lot of things to me. If someone tells me that they pity me, I'd be super real bummed. No one wants to be pitied.
I don't know if I would. No, it raises like this, hey, you know me, you don't know my story, versus if somebody was to offer me compassion or empathy, I feel like it actually, I would be like, oh, thank you. Like that feels good to know that you recognize that some piece of my life or the challenge that I'm going through is hard. So maybe it's the feeling sorry for when you don't know. Well, first off, it's not accurately directed, I think was his point, is that he feeling was that maybe a person in the airport or someone who encounters him feels sorry for him, believing that he somehow lives a life that is less than or harder than others. It seems like from his position, he's saying like, hell no, I love my life. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I love my life of service. He has such gratitude for the little things that he is able to do each day, the big things that he's able to do each day. So maybe it's the pity. God, it's such a terrible word now that we're using it, is the lesson. Pity isn't of service for others. Offering compassion for people, approaching people with a generous spirit, with empathy, yes. Pity, maybe not.
And I think this projecting stories and assumptions and like narratives is something that maybe we're just wired to do.
Okay, wait, I had a thought. I think one of the reasons is it's a cheap way to feel better about yourself, to look at another person and say, well, at least I don't have that.
Or at least, Christy, you're onto something.
Yeah, at least my challenge is this, but at least I haven't, you know, I don't have a physical disfigurement or something. And that is, I guess I said, it's a cheap way to give yourself a boost.
Yes, nobody wants people to feel sorry for them. And if you're having your own shit, whatever, you hate your job, your spouse, your body, whatever suffering you're dealing with, that... Yeah, I like the way you said that. It's a cheap, how'd you say it?
Like a cheap way to give yourself a little boost of well, at least I'm not fill in the blank. Like at least I didn't embarrass myself like that girl or whoever that poor girl is in that example. I think I would encourage anyone who finds themselves doing that to find some other more positive strategies to build your self-esteem.
Yes.
Maybe offer yourself some kindness that this is a hard moment.
Yeah.
And through that, you can actually, it is true, offering yourself rather than trying to make yourself better or gain perspective on your circumstances by, you know, at least I'm not this other person. Just take a moment. And this is actually from Jason, is take that moment to recognize that this is a hard moment, that I am having a hard time. And I think in giving yourself that freedom to recognize the hardship, you will get that boost that you need to move through that challenge.
Yeah.
I think so.
And I think it's like when you ask about other people's stories, and Jason obviously his life is now sharing this story, but Jason nor any of these guests would say, well, I hope when I tell my story, other people realize how great their lives are and that they have no right to be upset about, you know, caretaking yes. for their parents or yeah. whatever it may be, right? Mm-hmm. Their diabetes or their kids' mental, emotional health, whatever it may be. That is like so far from the point. So the idea of like connection and that we can like instead learn from and be better for, and that like Jason's story, while vastly different from somebody else's, can be a vehicle for any person, regardless of their story, you know, whether it's somebody 50 years younger, like different sex, different state, different country, can find lessons. Like that's really yeah. the point, right?
Yeah.
Lessons
yeah.
about he endured suffering, which is the shared human experience. And he's learned a lot about what it means to live well and what it means to endure and what it means to be a dad and a partner. And so like, that's where I get excited, is that they're just really powerful teachers at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
And so not to ever compare silently in our head, and when we're hearing other stories, like to look for the lesson and the wisdom and not the mm-hmm. comparison.
Yeah. And that point of inspiration, going back to the inspiration, the lesson, and that because you can hear the story, see how he navigated through these challenges, be inspired by that, and know that if this person did, hey, so can I. You know, so can I
yes,
make
yes.
my way through this, you know, through the experience. And that's hopeful.
Yeah.
Especially when we're feeling alone.
Yes.
Going back to that connection piece, I think what you're talking about so often is when you were sharing your hope is for these stories, is a huge piece of it is that we feel less alone, that we are in this together as part of a larger community with shared struggles and shared really wonderful moments too.
Yeah. Showing up for the good and the joy and all of that as well. And there's a lot of it to be had and a lot to be celebrated for sure.
Yeah.
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 All right, Christy. Well, I love you. I love Jason's story, and I loved our first little attempt at a podcast club after the show.
Yeah, after the show, I like that. May or may not be repeated. TBD.
Yeah. Could be the first or the first and the last.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.